Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Horius Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we will be picking up is found 2 lines from the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source, with a brisa, and in our marking system, all Tanaic sources are placed in frames. This Tanaic source is a takeoff or a comment on the coming off of the Mishnah that was seen just above. In the Mishnah, we saw a Machlokes Tanoim concerning a case where the Sanhedrin issued a legal ruling, a Hoirah, and it was a Hoirah in the realm of something that would be Chayev a Chatos if done B'Shogeg. For example, they ruled that chaylev is mutter, and then they discovered that their ruling was in error, and afterwards an individual went, based on their original ruling, and went ahead and violated the mitzvah and ate chaylev. What is the din with regard to such an individual? So we have a Tanaic source, as we mentioned, second line from the bottom, that features 4 deos of Tanoim on this topic. You'll see their names are underlined. We see Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, and Sumchus. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Tani, Rabbi Meir Mechayev. Rabbi Meir holds that a person who, after the Sanhedrin retracted from their original erroneous ruling, went ahead and ate chaylev, went ahead and violated the halacha based on the Sanhedrin's original psak, such a person is chayev a korban chatos. Rashi describes him as a toile ba'atzmo. He's acting on his own. He's not viewed as acting on the basis of the original court ruling, because in the interim the court was already retracted. Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that this person is reliant on the high court. Even though they retracted, he is not aware of that, and he's therefore viewed as relying purely on their original ruling. Rabbi Elazar Omer Sofek. Rabbi Elazar says that the issue of this person, how to categorize him, is a matter of sofek, whether he is completely reliant on himself, and hence would be chayev achatas, or he is completely reliant on the Beis Din, and as a result of that, he would be exempt. So when you have a situation of someone who is a sofek chayev korban chatas, he brings what's called an osham tolui. It's a special korban, as we mentioned, that deals with that is brought for someone who is a sofek chayav chatas. And finally, sumchus, mishum sumchus amru, in the name of sumchus, it was stated, talui. Very important to note here that according to sumchus, he does not bring an osham talui, even though sumchus uses the word talui, it means that his action is in suspension. It's hard for us to say, according to Sumchus, that he is that he might have been a pure toile be'atzmo, or a pure toile be'hiras based in. If we look in the Rashi, we will notice in the inside column of the Rashi, we have a squiggle underlined section about a third of the way up from the end of the inside column of the Rashi commentary, the Hochi Komar Sumchus, Maisa Shelo Toluihu, his action is in suspension. Veleko Lameimar Shema Toile Ba'atzmohave, and it's hard for us. We cannot say that he may have been dependent on his own thoughts. Hilkoch lo have bar chiyuv ma'alya. We cannot, therefore, since we can't say that he might have been totally dependent on himself, we can't say that he's a true guilty individual. Guilty meaning guilty of a korban chatos. The bishlamo heichod have lefonav chaticho achas. Sofek shel chelev, sofek shel shuman v'ochlo. There's the standard case of someone who has in front of him a piece of meat, and there is a doubt as to whether it is chelev or it is shuman. Chelev being prohibited, shuman being allowed, and then the person ate that one piece of meat that was in doubt. Bedinhu demevi osham tolui. There is good reason in that case to bring in osham tolui mishum deikol lameimar shema chelev mamish ochal. Because there is a possibility it might have been pure chelev, that which is forbidden. The have bar chiyuv malya, on that side of the coin, he's truly chayav achatos. And here we now have the case of he's being suffek chayav such a thing. Aval hocha, in our case of the person who acted after the Sanhedrin retracted, leko lemeimar, we cannot say shema toile beatzmo mamish hu, that he might have been a full-fledged dependent on himself type of individual. Why can't we say that he might have been exclusively toile beatzmo? Sharei al pi hoirohu oise. After all, there was a court ruling on the topic, and he heard that court ruling. He must have been influenced by that to some degree. Hilkoch maisa shelo tolui hu. Therefore, his action we call suspended. The tzad chiyuv shelo tolui hu. The lo habit tzad chiyuv ma'alya. The side to say that he is guilty. The side to say that he was toile ba'atzmo, which would have made him guilty of a korban chatos, that we cannot say. Hilkoch eno mevi osham toli. Therefore, according to the Sumchus opinion, we cannot say that he brings an osham toli. Once again, because the tzad, the chastos side of the equation, is not very strong. Therefore, we cannot call him a true sofek chiyuv chatos. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, osham toli iko binayu. Rabbi Yochanan points out that which we already incorporated in our explanation, that the point of difference between Rebbe Elazar and Sumchus concerns the Korban Hashem Toli. Namely, according to Rebbe Elazar, one in this situation will bring in Hashem Toli, and according to Sumchus, will not. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a new geometric form. We have a crown marking. The geometric forms in the Gemara marking system are designed to create an association between different points. Sometimes we create a series effect through the use of the markings. In this case, we see this crown form here, and also in the upper part of Daf Dalet Omid Aleph. On the side of our Gemara, we've under the Mivneh heading, we see the crown featured, and we see the expression Moshal de Rav Elazar and de Sumchus. These are the expressions that you see in a crown form. These sections of Gemara are designed to illustrate what the positions of Rav Elazar and Sumchus really are. In other words, to offer an additional explanation or analogy to help understand their respective positions. We've also included a sikum, a summary of these positions, and we've written on the side, L'Rabbi Elazar yesh tzad chazok ba'sofek. According to Rabbi Elazar, there is a strong side in the sofek, lomar da'vi toile ba'atzmo. There's a strong side to say that he was acting on his own volition. V'lachein mevi osham toli. And because that side of the equation is strengthened, there is grounds for saying that he should bring an osham toli. L'sumchus eino mevi osham toli. According to Sumchus, however, he doesn't bring that particular korban. the afilu b'tzad shelo hoya toloi b'beisdin, ein lomar shemo toile ba'atzmo mamish. Because even on the side to say that he was not really dependent on the beisdin, however, we cannot say that he was truly dependent on himself, that he was acting on his own volition. Shrei alpi hoiro also, because his action was coming on the heels of a court ruling. Omar Rabbi Zera, we turn to the Gemara. Moshel de Rabbi Lozer, l'mahadover deme. According to Rabbi Lozer, who said that this person is Chayav and Osham Toli, the person who acted after the court retracted from their erroneous psak, to what can we compare this? Answer, li'odom she'ochal sofek chelev sofek shuman v'noidalo, to a person who ate a piece of meat. Originally there was a doubt concerning the status of meat was not known, and it became known that what he ate was sofek chelev sofek shuman. Once again, we have a person who innocently went ahead and ate a piece of meat, thinking that it was kosher, and then it turned out that what he ate was a sofek chelev sofek shuman, chelev being that which is forbidden, shuman being that which is mutar. And what happens when he finds out that that which he ate was a sofek? Shemevi osham, he brings the osham tolui. This osham is a reference to the osham tolui. Looking at Rashi at the end of the commentary, he says, "Li'odam she'ochal sofek chelev sofek shuman, v'arei sovur she'shuman hu." Before he sat down to eat it, he thought it was shuman. He thought it was kosher meat. V'noda lo she'sofek hu. And then it became known to him after he ate it that what he ate was in doubt. She'mevi oshem tolui mishum de'shemo chelev mamish ochal. He brings an oshem tolui because maybe it was actual chelev, which is forbidden. Hochi nami iko lemeimar shemo toile ba'atzmo mamashu. So too, with regard to our example, the person who acted after the court retracted, there is a side to say that he was acting on his own volition. Continuing in the Gemara at the top of Daf Dalet, v'lo mibaya lemadomar tzibur maisi demefarsim omilsa, and it doesn't need not be said that this gentleman will be chayev an osham tolui according to the opinion that the funds used for buying the par helam, the court-related korban, are collected from the masses, from the community. In such a case, at the point the court retracted, there was already a community collection for the court-related korban. As a result of that, it would be hard to say that the person who acted after the court retracted was acting, basing himself on the original court ruling. As a result of that, we can't call him so easily a toyla bebeizdin. Therefore, according to the Mad Omar, that the funds are collected from the masses, and this guy went ahead anyway and violated the halacha and went ahead and ate the chelev, so to speak, or whatever the court had ruled on. If the court ate that eating dam is mutter, he went ahead and ate dam, and he would have been doing so after a collection started for the court korban. So on that side, it's pretty clear that he was acting on his own volition. It was toyu b'atzmo, which creates a much stronger case for his bringing in osham tolui. Elo afilu l'mandomar based in mevi'in delo mefarsim milsa. But even according to the opinion that says that the monies used to pay for the court error were from court funds and not from public funds, and therefore it would not be mefarsim, it wouldn't be well known. And this individual who went ahead and follow the original ruling may have done so basing himself on that original ruling. Nevertheless, if he would have inquired, if he would have asked about what's going on, they would have told him that the court retracted and is bringing a korban par helem, and as a result of that, this strengthens the side to say that, hey, this guy that could have found out about the retraction and went ahead anyway and violated, basing himself on the original erroneous ruling, he is a toile ba'atzmo. And as a result of strengthening the side of the equation that suggests he's a toile ba'atzmo, we're increasing the chances, or we're increasing the chatos side of the equation. And after all is said and done, we have a suffek here, because maybe he was dependent on the original psak as well. So after all is told up, he brings an osham toloi. Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Ovin, v'itema Rabbi Yosi bar Zavida, moshel de sunchas l'mahadover doimet. Sunchas, remember, held that he does not bring an osham toloi, and we explained because the tzad, the side of the equation that would suggest he was a toile ba'atzmo, is not very strong. So he says, to what can Sunchas' ruling be compared? La'odam shehevi kaparosu ben ashmoshes. Sofik mibodyoim niskaprelo, sofik mishachashecho niskaprelo. A person who had an obligation to bring a korban, and he brought his korban, he brought his sacrifice during the twilight time. The Bein HaShmoshos is a period of time that's considered a Suffolk day, which is a time appropriate for bringing korbanos, or Suffolk night, a time that's inappropriate for bringing korbanos. So if a person brought his korban, he brought his sacrifice that he's obligated to bring at that time, at Bein HaShmoshos, we say she'ein mevi osham toloi, because he's entered the realm of a suffek, he does not, as a result of that, bring now an osham toloi. Continuing in the Gemara, V'lo mibayo l'mandomar based in mevi'in, d'lo ifarsamo milsa. And it doesn't have to be told that that he's exempt from the osham toloi according to the mandomar, that it's a court, it's that the parhelim, the court korban, is paid for from court funds, where it's not known publicly that there was a mistake. And on that side, it's pretty clear that he was really acting on the original psak of Basin, and we call him a toivul of Basin. El afilu lemandar mar tzibur mevi'in, de mefarsam amilsa v'havu amrinon lei. But even according to the opinion that holds that the funds used to pay for the court-related korban are collected from the public, and it is well known, and he could have easily found out about it. Even so, the hocha kesofik mibodyom sofik mishachashecha. And with regard to our case of the person who acted after the court retracted and went ahead and violated the halacha, I shoyel, it could be, had he asked, lo ashkach imish de mishayle. Even had he asked, he might have not found a person to answer his questions. Let us take a look at the Rashi. The Rashi we want to look at is across from this point in the Gemara, a few lines down. Rashi, we have a dashed underlined section. Hachi nami leko lemeimar shemo mamish toile ba'atzmo. Here too, with regard to our case, we can't classify him as a real toile ba'atzmo. Sharei kvar horu basin, because we're talking about a case after basin had issued their original psak. And this fellow, even though the basin retracted in the interim, he went ahead and violated according to the original erroneous ruling. Continuing in the Rashi, v'lo mibaya l'mandomar basin mevi'in v'lo tzibur d'lo mefarsam l'mil sahi v'hai yochid toilu l'basin hu potter. And it need not be taught that there is no osham toli according to the opinion that says that Beis Din brings the korban, and this guy could never have found out, or it would have been close to impossible for him to have found out that there was a mistake in their ruling. Elo afilu lemandomar tzibur mevi'in v'ikol lemeim afarsim amilsahi v'hai yochid lav to the Beis Din. But even according to the opinion that says that the funds used for buying the court related korban that they bring as a result of their mistake are public funds. And therefore, he when he acts after they made their mistake and funds started being collected, he is not a toile basin, the toile b'atzmohu, and he is acting on his own volition when he sins. Afilu achi, omar toile b'basin hu, dechi osa, alpiyam osa. Why is that? Lo mishkach inish de v'shailei. But he didn't find anyone to ask, even though the funds are collected from the public, our individual. Maybe he didn't find anyone to ask. And it doesn't occur to him to ask why is the community bringing this par, this special korban, as a result of a court error. Hilkoch lekot sad chiyuv ma'alya. Therefore, there's no side, strong side, to suggest that he was acting on his own volition. The hotzad potur shayach beit fei. The side for exemption is stronger. The toyuba based in who? To the side suggesting that he was acting based on the original court ruling. Hilkoch eino mevi osham tolui. Therefore, he does not bring the osham tolui korban. That's as far as Sumchus is concerned. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a quote from the Mishnah. Omar lo ben Azai. Ben Azai addresses Rabbi Akiva, and he says, "My shno min hayoshev v'chulei." In our Mishnah, we saw a chiluk made between someone who was yoshev lo bebeiso and someone who was holach min hayam. Rabbi Akiva gave credence to that chiluk, and he said that someone who's holach min hayam, someone who went abroad, it's like very likely that he's closer to being exempt than guilty, as opposed to someone who remains home. Ben Azai asked, "What's the difference between the two?" Rabbi Akiva says that someone who remains home, so he could have found out about the court's retraction. The fellow who went overseas, he could not have found out about the court's retraction, and therefore his violation would have been purely reliant upon the original court ruling. The Gemara points out that Rabbi Akiva's response in explaining this difference is a strong response. Shapir ka'omar le Rabbi Akiva le Ben Azai. Rabbi Akiva is offering a very strong response to Ben Azai. So the question remains, what point of difference may there be between these two authorities? Omar Rava, hichsik bederech ika binayu. This is a person who starts on his way, on his trip to Medina Sayyam, but he's still in town. In other words, he's not sitting at home, but he's already stepped out the door on his trip. This will be a point of difference between the two. The Ben Azai Chayav, Dahab Beisei Ise. According to Ben Azai, he is Chayav a personal korban because he's still on home turf. He's still considered at home. The Rabbi Akiva Potter, why? Because he's started on his trip, and as a result of that, he's preoccupied with his journey. And as a result of his preoccupation, he isn't going to hear about court retractions, even though he hasn't reached his destination yet. He's still in town, so to speak. Horu lo based in Lakor es kol haguf. We saw in the Mishnah that there's a distinction between an erroneous ruling that involves the denying of an entire mitzvah, as opposed to an erroneous ruling which denies a detail of a mitzvah. Tonu Rabbanan v'ne'elam dovar. The pasuk that we have recorded on the side of our Gemara, Vayikro Dalet Posuk Yud Gimel, which says, we'll read the Posuk first, V'im kol adas Yisrael yishgu v'ne'elam dovar mi'enei hakohol v'yosu achas mikol mitzvus Hashem asher lo te'oseno v'ashemu. The Posuk says that there is hidden from their eyes. In other words, they made a mistake concerning dovar. Dovar implies a detail. And from this we derive Velo Shiaker HaMitzvah Kula. The Brisa says that their erroneous psak involves a mistake concerning a detail, but not a mistake which would involve the uprooting of an entire mitzvah. Ketzad. illustrations of this distinction. Omru. We have three examples. We've listed them off as Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. If they ruled Ein Nida Batorah, Ein Shabbos Batorah, Ein Avodas Kechavim Batorah, that there is no restrictions concerning the Nida, this is the woman who experiences her monthly female cycle, or they rule that there's no Shabbos in the Torah. The Torah makes no reference to Shabbos, and hence there's no Shabbos restrictions, or there's no halachas concerning idolatry. Yochel Yu Chayoven, if they discover that they made a mistake, would they be Chayav the Par Helam Dovar Shel Tzibur? Talmud Lomar V'Ne'alam Dovar V'lo Shetis Alei Mitzvah Kula Hare Elu Pturim Avol. Hare Elu Pturim would mean that if they made a mistake of that awesome or calamitous nature, they would not be guilty. It would be such an overwhelming type of error whereby they uprooted an entire mitzvah. Avol, Omru, another list of examples using the same primary examples we used, with this time focusing on details. If they say, Yesh Nida B'Torah, Avol Habo Al Shomeres Yoim Keneged Yoim Potter, they accept the fact that there is a monthly cycle that a woman experiences during which time she's forbidden to her husband and creates tumah in general. But they say, regarding a certain aspect of Nida, namely the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom is Muteres, this is a situation when the 7 days of the Nida cycle are completed, there sets in an 11-day period known as Yemei Ziva. During that 11-day period, if there's any dam sighting, she is obligated to experience an additional day of non-dam. For every, literally, for a day of dam, there must be another day of Yoim Noki, a clean day, meaning a non-dam day. Of course, in the context of our shiur, we're not going to get into the details of this topic. There is an entire Maseches Nida that gets into the details of these matters. For our purposes, it's sufficient to say that they rule that there's no din of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, when in fact there is. Another example, Yesh Shabbos B'Torah, they acknowledge that there's Shabbos, Aval HaMotzi Mirshus HaYochid Rishus HaRabin Potter. But they say that transferring objects from public domain, from private domain to public domain, or vice versa, is exempt, when in fact that's not true. Or they say, Yesh Avodas Kechavim B'Torah Aval Mishtachav HaPoter. They acknowledge that there's a prohibition of idolatry. But they say that bowing is okay, acknowledging, in other words, acknowledging the principal mitzvah and being in error concerning a detail. Yochel Yu Peturin, would they be potter under those circumstances? Talmud Lomar V'Ne'alam Dovar V'Lo Kol Haguf, that under such circumstances the court would be chayev their par helem, because they they fulfilled, so to speak, that which the pasuk says V'Ne'alam Dovar, where they make a mistake concerning a detail and they did not uproot an entire mitzvah. Omar Mar, we now quote from that which was stated earlier, Yochol Yu Peturin. We're now going to be looking at the Havamina of this source. We dashed underlined in this source two phrases. The second phrase that was dashed underlined was the suggestion, in the case of Kiyu Mitzas and Bitul Mitzas, maybe they would be exempt. Now if you stop at that point, we're suggesting an exemption for Bitul Mitzas. We stated earlier in the source that for Akiras Kol Haguf, they are exempt. So the Gemara asks, V'iba Kiyu Mitzas or Bitul Mitzas, Pturin? Uba Akiras Kol Haguf, Pturin? So B'mai Chayovin? According to the Havamina, the point prior to the conclusion, there was a suggestion was raised that maybe for Bitul Mitzas they are exempt as well. So it would come out that under all circumstances there is an exemption. So what was the Havamina of this source, of this Tana, when he stated the final suggestion of Yochel Yu Peturin? The Gemara answers, Tana Hochi kokashi olei. The correct understanding of the Tana is as follows. Before we go further, let's take a look at the Rashi across from here. It says, Tana hochi kashile, dovar kula milsa mashma, dahoru lakor kolaguf, daha loksiv mi dovar, v'eimo ipcha. After all, the Torah says, v'nelam dovar. It doesn't, and that word, dovar, implies, in fact, not like we suggested earlier, because what we suggested was based on the maskana of the Gemara, but on the superficial level, if you look at the word dover, it sounds like they are guilty of a par helim if they uproot an entire mitzvah, to the contrary of what we said. The emo itcha, and Rashi goes on to say, and there's grounds for suggesting the opposite. The horu levatel b'miktsas u'lekayim b'miktsas yochol yupaturin. So what the Gemara is explaining here now in a very terse fashion is that the Tana, when he reaches the end of the Tanaic source, namely the second dashed underline, there's an about face that's taking place in his mind, namely maybe that for the case of Oker Kol HaGuf, there should be, yes, guilt of bringing a par helam. There should be grounds. There should be an obligation under those circumstances. And for Bittul Miksas, which is what the end of the source reflects, there we now ask Yochel Yupatur, maybe for Bittul Miksas they are exempt. That's what's meant by the following Gemara. Let's read it now inside. Tana Hochi Kokashilei. Ema Dovar Kula Milsa Mashma. Maybe we should say that V'nelam Dovar means that they were uprooting an entire mitzvah, and now, and for that, they will be Chayav. And for the Bittul Miksas, they should be Potter. Talmud Lomar, V'nelam Dovar. Now this expression at the end of the source, V'nelam Dovar, is a conclusive statement that V'nelam Dovar, and not Kol HaGuf, as it says in the source. This V'nelam Dovar is therefore teaching me that there is a chiyuv of Par Helim only for Bittul Miksas. On this, the Gemara asks, my mashma, how do you see from V'nelam Dovar that there is a chiyuv of Par Helim only for Bittul Miksas? To answer this question, we'll have three approaches. On the side of our Gemara, we have a mivneh, a structural note, with a triangle featured. Hezberim heich royim mehaposuk b'vayikra dalet yud gimel. How do we see from this posuk of v'nelam dovar derak al hoiro shal akiras miksas yesh chiyuv korban? How do you see it from the posuk? Omar Ulo, turning back to the Gemara, Ulo explains, kri be v'nelam mi dovar. That means that even though the mem does not appear in the Torah before the dovor word, in your mind's eye, you take the mem from the end of v'ne'elam and attach it to the next word, dovor, and you get v'ne'elam mi dovor. There was hidden from their eyes, namely the Beis Din made a mistake concerning mi dovor. Mem is a limitation letter, meaning partial matter. There was hidden from their eyes a partial mitzvah. That's called Bittul Miksas. Chizkiya says that the end of the posuk itself is what clues the Chazal into this idea of Bittul Miksas as being grounds for Chiyuv Korban Par Helem. Omar Kro, the very same posuk, goes on to say, V'asu achas mikol mitzvos. And we emphasize, which equals mikol mitzvos, velo kol mitzvos. As we said before, the mem is a limitation letter. Namely, if it was hidden from their eyes, mikol mitzvos, from one of the mitzvos, and not all of them. The Gemara asks, however, mitzvos tarti mashma. The word mitzvos is in the plural. So maybe in order for there to be an erroneous psak, which would result in a par helem, they have to rule on two mitzvos. And not a bittul of one mitzvah, miksas of one mitzvah. Amrav Nachbar Yitzchok, he says, don't worry about the appearance of a plural word, because in the Torah there are no vowels. So as far as the Torah is concerned, mitzvas ksiv, the word can be understood in the singular as well, mitzvas as opposed to mitzvos. So according to Chizkia, the seifa of the pasuk is what teaches us this idea of bitul mitzvas. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi says, Yolif dover dover mizokin mamre. We're going to use a gzera shava using the word davar to connect us with the parsha of Zokin Mamre, the rebellious sage who rules against that which the Sanhedrin Hagadol says. And it says in that topic, ki pole mimcha davar lo sosur min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yaminu smoil. Notice we've dashed underlined the expression min hadavar. Ma mamre min hadavar velo called over. Just like in the case of the Zokin Mamre, his guilt is if he comes to argue with the Sanhedrin on a detail concerning a mitzvah. Af bahayra. So too, in our topic of Ayikra Dalet Pasuk Yud Gimel, the word davar is to be understood as velo kol haguf, and not an entire mitzvah. As we glance at the side of our Gemara, we have a no say heading, a topic heading. No, ein basin, we've written on the side, ein basin chayovin at shiur b'dover she'ein hatstukin moedim bo. This whole topic of guilt of court based on an erroneous psak, and hence guilty of bringing a par helim dover shil tzibur, this is provided that their ruling concerned a matter that the tzedukim would not acknowledge. Now the tzedukim were a group of I'll call it a breakaway sect from traditional Judaism that recognized exclusively the written Torah, the Chumash and the Psukim in the Torah as being halacha and binding, drushes and rabbinic expansions of verses that we know as part of Torah Shebaal Peh. They do not accept. What our Gemara is going to suggest is that if the Beis Din makes a mistake concerning something that is a pasuk, something that is black on white, so to speak, in the Torah, something that the Tzedukim themselves would have accepted, that does not constitute an erroneous ruling that would result in a par helam dover shel tzibur. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, turning to the Gemara, ein beizin chayovim ad shiyoru bedover shein hatstukin moedim boi. That beizin would not be chayev a par helam unless they issue a ruling to allow something that's not mefurish in the Torah, something that's not explicit in the Torah. Avol bedover shat tzedukin moedim bo pturin. However, if they ruled that something that the Torah itself forbids, and they ruled that it is allowed, that type of error would not result in a par helam dover shel tzibur. My taima. Why is that? Zil kri be ravhu. This is a situation where a person could have gone to the Torah and found out about it. The expression zil kri be ravhu is a reference to everyone who was, as a child, has learned in a basic Torah institution would have known about it on his own. As a result of that, a person who, let us just say, the court ruled that pig meat is allowed. The Torah itself says that a chazir is forbidden. If a person went ahead and ate pig meat based on the court's ruling, we would tell him, hey, you knew that from your early elementary education that pig meat is forbidden. You weren't really relying on the court's ruling. This is something that you could have opened up a chumash and found out about on your own. And if you went ahead anyway and ate pig's meat, you're considered something korov lemezid. And as a result of that, there is no grounds for bringing a korban. We now encounter a geometric form. We see a diamond which indicates a series. On the side of our Gemara, we have a Mivneh, a structural note, featuring the different markings that accompany each sukkah. Here we have a diamond featured. Tzitutim, quotes, Mehamokor shel dugmois shel akira b'miktsas. We will have a series of quotes from the source that we learned above. We will see a double underline appearing, which is also a series marking. Kushos al hadugmois shel akiras miktsas shemuvos b'braisa. We are going to be raising questions on the examples of partial voiding or partial violation that they ruled upon. We're going to be asking on those examples of partial bittul. The harehem atzmom dovor, or the hem atzmom begeder zil kri beirav. They are themselves things. The examples that the Brisa cited as being bittul b'miktsas, bittul miktsas, and as a result of that, the court would bring a korban chatas. But those are examples of things that are found in the Torah. And if they're found in the Torah, we just got finished saying that because they are zil kri beirafu, there is no grounds, no basis for bringing the korban. Let's now see the Gemara, the quotes and the questions. Tanan. Yesh nido b'Torah, aval ha-bo'al shemeres yoyim keneged yom poter. Our Mishnah said that if the court rules that only shemeres kiyom keneged yom is exempt, but they at the same time acknowledge that nida does exist, and we said that shemeres yom keneged yom was an example of a detail of the mitzvah, therefore they would be chayev apar helim ve'amai. We're going to ask, why should that be mechayev apar helim? Shemeres yom keneged yom hoksiv v'sofra la. There's a pasuk that says v'sofra la melamed shesoferes echad le'echad, and from this we learn that she keeps account of her days, namely that if she sees a day of dam, she has to keep another day of non dam. So what is meant by the example of Habal Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom as being an example of a mistake? Where is the mistake? Where is the mistake which is not found in a pasuk? Answer: the Amri Ha'ro Sharya Gemar Bia Hu Da'asira. They ruled. The court ruled that Ha'ro is mutter. Ha'ro is in the act of intimacy. It's a reference to a partial entrance. So they're ruling that partial entrance to Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom is allowed. Only a consummation of the intimacy is that which is forbidden. And that's not true. So that's their mistake. The Gemara asks, well, but Ha'nami, the issue of Ha'ra, partial entrance, there's a pasuk that governs that. See if it says, Es Mikora Ha'ra. So the pasuk itself forbids partial entrance. So how could you classify that as something that's a dover shein that's duke moedim bo? Answer: the Amri, the court said, kedarka asira shelo kedarka sharia. This is a mistake, but their ruling was that the Torah prohibits only the normal course of intimacy, but the shelo kedarka fashion that is allowed. That's their mistake. The Gemara asks, but even regarding Shalokadaka, there's a posik for that. Hoksiv Mishkevei Isha. Mishkevei is a plural expression, including meaning all forms of intimacy, whether it be the normal course or the Shalokadaka fashion. Once again, all forms are included in Psukim in the Torah. So these are all things that Dvarim Shatzadukim Moedibo. The Amri, the Gemara answers. The court says as follows. The court, in its erroneous ruling, says, "Kedarka osur afilu heora." If it's through the normal passage, then even partial entrance is forbidden. B'shalo kedarka, when you're dealing with the unusual entrance point, then gemar biyohuda osur avora sharia. There, they say that consummation is forbidden, but partial entrance is allowed, and that's their mistake. Well, ihachi, if their mistake is on the grounds of their distinction between Heora and Gemar Bia is based on Kedarko and Shelo Kedarko. Why do you have to go to the realm of Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom? Iachi Afilo Nidonami. Even the case of a Nida woman, they could have conceivably made such a distinction. Elo Lioilam Kedarka. The Beis Din, in their erroneous psak, is saying that Heora is mutter shemeres yom keneged yom in a kedarka fashion. Ude amri, and they say heora, the prohibition of partial entry, that's beisha dova hu deksiva. That's only when she's experiencing an actual flow. This point, in fact, the idea of heora being prohibited in the Torah, it is true that the Torah makes reference to Heora, but that's only with regard to a woman experiencing an actual flow. As far as Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, we don't see in the Torah itself that Heora is prohibited. In fact, it is prohibited, but the court, it rules that Heora in a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom is mutter, and that point is something that the Tzedukim themselves don't acknowledge. Hence, it constitutes a psak that would result in a par helam dover shel tzibur. V'boy eseimo, another answer, the amri zova lo havi lo biyamomi. The court rules that the ziva is something that takes place only if a flow happens during the daytime hours. Dechsiv ko yemei zova. As far as the psukim are concerned, that's what it in fact sounds like. Now, they're making a mistake, because ziva is something that applies during the nighttime hours as well. And that is their mistake, and this is something that the tzedukim are not modimbo, because as far as the psukim are concerned, it speaks only about daytime. Tanan, Yei Shabbos b'tera v'lamotzi mirshus l'rishus poter. This was another example of bitul miksas, which we said does result in a parhelim. According to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, this would have been an example of a dover she'ein hatzdukim modimbo. But we ask the Amai, why do you call this a dover she'ein hatzdukim modimbo? Why do you call this something that is not mentioned in the Torah itself? Hoitza hoksiva al yetzei ish mimekoymoi. There is a pasuk in the Torah itself that addresses the issue of transferring objects from private domains to public domains. Answer: the Amri, the court rules, Hoitza hu da'aser hachnasa mutter. The court rules that it's true the Torah prohibits transfer from private to public domain, but from public domain to private domain, that would be okay. Well, that's their mistake. But as far as our sugya is concerned, hachnasa itself is not beferush in the Torah. There isn't a pasuk that covers hachnasa in an open fashion, and hence it's called a dover sheinat stukim bodenbo. And as a result of that, there is grounds for a par helam. V'boy seimo the amri hoitza hu de asira. Another example or understanding of the Mishnah that said that they ruled the motzi mishus l'shus is potter, is they acknowledge that hotza is forbidden. However, Moshe v'zorek, sorry, they say erroneously that the extending of an article whereby a person stands in his position and he outstretches his arm with an article in it, that's called Moshe, and thereby Moshe is a situation where one hand something along a Rishus HaRabim. We, at this point, won't get into details, but it's a situation of it's not where the person actually walks with the item, transferring it from one location to another, but he stretches out his arm with an article in it, and thereby transfers its the item's position from one point, from point one to point two, which is a Shabbos violation, or Zorek is throwing an article. They rule that Moshe and Zorek are allowed. Those things, in fact, are forbidden. However, there is no pasuk that states Moshe and Zorek explicitly. Hence, it does constitute an example of something that ain hatzdukim modimbo, and hence there would be a par helem. Tanan. Another quote from the Mishnah: Yesh avodas kovah v'torah v'mishtachev v'poter. The Gemara asks, "How is this a good example of bitul mitzas and grounds for a parhelim, the amai, the hamishtachav el ksiva, dichtiv lo sishtachav eliel acher. The Torah itself mentions explicitly the prohibition of bowing to idols. If that be the case, even the tzedukim acknowledge such a thing, and as a result of that, this does not constitute an erroneous psak, which would result in a parhelim. The Gemara answers, the Amri, the court, said, ki asirish dachavoya, when is bowing prohibited? Kedarka, only if it's done to an idol that's normally worshipped through bowing. Avol shelo kedarka sharia. And however, they say erroneously that if one bows to a type of idol like a pa'or or a markalis idol that are not worshipped through bowing, that would be okay. Now, we know that that's not okay, and that's their mistake. However, the idea of a prohibition of bowing to a markalis is not something that's covered by psukim. The Iboy Esemo, the Amri, another possibility of what the court mistake was, is as follows. Hishtachavoya gufa. The act of bowing itself, kedarkahu da'osir. The normal bowing, which involves total prostration, outstretching of arms and legs, that is what's forbidden. However, a bending of the body, as opposed to a total prostration, that would be all right, when we of course know that that's not all right. However, that's an example of something that ain hatzduk in modimbo, and hence it does constitute a type of psak, a type of ruling that could result in a par helam. As we look at the top of Dalet Amud Beis, we have a new geometric form. We also have a topic heading and structural note in the outside margin, the nosei mivneh. We have the house form that appears, she'elois be'inyan hoiruas bitol mitzas v'kiyu mitzas, with questions concerning the issue of partial denial of mitzvahs on the part of the Beis and through their ruling, partial cancellation of a mitzvah in their ruling. Boy Rav Yosef, Ein Harisho B'Shabbos Mahu. The court rules there is no prohibition of plowing on Shabbos. Two sides of this question. Mi Amrinon, we have an Aleph and O Dilma on the third line from the top, a squiggle line, O Dilma Beis, helping you to see clearly the two sides of the question. Mi Amrinon, Kevon Dekom Modu B'Kulu Milso, Kebitul mixas v'kiu mixas domi. Do we say that since the court acknowledges in general that there is Shabbos, and they're ruling simply on a detail of Shabbos, namely Harisha, that Harisha is not prohibited, which is a mistake, that constitutes bitul mixas. O dilma kiva de ko akrin lei leharisha kol iker kiras guf domi. On the other hand, since they're uprooting the idea of plowing entirely, in other words, they're denying Harisha entirely, that's considered Akiras Kol HaGuf Ta Shema. So in an attempt to answer this, and you'll notice we have a series of triangles that appear in our structural note, we have the triangle featured Nisyonos Lifshot HaSheilo HaRishona. These are attempts to answer this first question, the question of Rav Yosef. The Gemara says, Toshma, Yesh Nido Bater, Aval Habo Al Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom Poter. Ve'amai, why should that be an example? No, well, let us not forget that these are examples of Parhelim. Why should they bring a Parhelim? Ho Akrin L'Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom Koliker. Are they not uprooting the idea of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom entirely? And still we say that they would bring a parhelim. So on the same grounds, we should say that in the case of Ein Harisha B'Shabbos, they would also bring a parhelim. Omar Loch Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, this is not parallel. Shomeres Yom Dekoamrin Kedishonin. As far as the allowance they are giving for Shomeres Yom, they're not allowing Shomeres Yom across the boards. They're allowing a detail of Shomeres Yom. That's not the same as uprooting Harisha entirely, the whole institution of plowing on Shabbos.
Toshma, Yesh Shabbos B'Torah V'Lamotzi Mirshus HaYochid Mirshus HaRabim Poter.
Now, here we have an example that's actually from Shabbos itself that would seem to be a direct parallel. This is a source, our Mishnah, that said that they, in this case they would bring a par helem. What are they saying over here? They're saying there is Shabbos, just like in the Harisha case, that there is an Isur of Shabbos, there is a Shabbos prohibition. What is the example of the Mishnah? They're saying, but motzi mirshus hayochel mirshus harabim mas poter. This is called hotso, which is one of the malachas of Shabbos. It's one of the 39 prohibited acts of Shabbos. Harisha is another one of those. And what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says if they issue an allowance for hotso, if they rule that hotso is exempt, they would be chayav a parhelim. So couldn't we draw a direct parallel to that where the court rules there is Shabbos, but there's no harisha restriction? And then we would be able to answer our question that if they say Ein Harisha B'Shabbos, they would be chayav a parhelim, just like when they say that Motzi Mishus HaYochel Mishus HaRabim is Potter, they bring a parhelim. Ve'amai Ho'akri L'Hotso Kol Iker. Why should they bring a parhelim? Are they not uprooting Hotso altogether? And yet we see that they do bring a parhelim. The Gemara answers, no, they're not uprooting Hotso entirely. Hosam Nami Kedishonin. There too, like we explained on Omer Aleph, they weren't saying that Hotso entirely is allowed. They're saying a certain aspect of Hotso is allowed. Whereas in the case of Rav Yosef's question, the court was ruling that all of Harisha is allowed, not just an aspect of it. Toshma, Yesh avodis kochavim b'torah, aval mishtache v'poter. Ve'amai, why should that be an example of bitul miksas and hence result in parhelim? V'akrin la'shtachavoy kolik. Are they not uprooting the prohibition of bowing altogether? And yet we see that as long as you acknowledge the general mitzvah involved, namely idolatry, even though you uproot a facet of it, it's okay. In other words, it's okay, meaning it constitutes a type of psak that would result in a parhelim, so we can say the same thing with harisha. The Gemara says, no. Amri hishtachavoya nami kidishonin. Also with regard to hishtachavoya, the court wasn't ruling that all forms of hishtachavoya mutter. The court was allowing only hishtachavoya shelo kedarka. As opposed to the example Rav Yosef was citing, there the court was ruling that harisha in general is allowed. Boy, Rebbe Zera, Ein Shabbos b'Shvi'is Ma'u. Let us say the court ruled that there's no law regarding Sabbath observance on the Shemitah year. B'Maito, what is the grounds or the basis of such a mistake? How could someone come to such an error? B'Hodein Kra. In the following pasuk, the pasuk says, "B'chorish uvechotz uvekotzir tishbois, bizman deiko harisha iko Shabbos." During a time that there is plowing, namely a non-sabbatical year, the sixth of the 7 years of the agricultural cycle, when one does plow, so then tishbois, there is the requirement of keeping Shabbos. Ubizman deleko harisha. And during a time that there is no plowing, for example, the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year, Leko Shabbos, so there's no din of keeping Shabbos, the Sabbath day. Of course, this is a mistake. This is not true. Shabbos is binding all the time, every year, including Shemitah years. Mi Amrinan, do we say, as far as their mistake is concerned, the following? And notice we have broken this into Aleph, O Dilma Beis, two sides of the question. Mi Amrinon, do we say on the one hand, Kevon de Mekaimin law, Bishar Shnei Shavua, since the court acknowledges, they establish that there is Shabbos during the other six years of the 7 year cycle, Kabitul Miksas Viku Miksas Domi, it's considered Bitul Miksas, and hence it would be a type of psak that would result in a parhelim, O Dilma, or maybe Kevon de Koakrin Le Bishvias, since when it comes to the Shemitah year itself, if you focus on the Shemitah year, they are saying there's no Shabbos at all during this particular year. Kakiras Guftomi, we would view it as the abolishing in totality of Shabbos. Akiras Haguf, and then there would be no Par Helim for such a mistake. Omar Ravina Toshma. So Ravina comes to answer the question. You'll notice that this question itself is a long answer. This Ravina comes to answer the question. That's a long answer marking that we have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You see a tuff that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, which takes us to the Mishnah. Omar Ravina Toshma Novi Shenisnabe Lakor Dovor Midivrei Torah Chayov. If a prophet says falsely that something from the Torah is to be uprooted, he becomes guilty as a false prophet. The bittul mixas, ulekiu mixas. Let's say the prophet attempts to abolish a detail of the mitzvahs. Rabbi Shimon Omer Potter. That would not be sufficient grounds for his being labeled a novi sheker, which carries with it a death penalty. Ubavodes kechavim, when it comes to idolatry, afilu omar hayoim oivda ulamocher betela chayov. When it comes to idolatry, if he says, today, worship the idol. Tomorrow, it's not allowed. It's not mutter, not allowed to worship, to be worshipped. He is chayav. Shma mino, ein Shabbos b'shvius, is kebitul mixas v'kiu mixas domi. Shma mino. So we see that similarly, a court that rules there's no Shabbos during the Shemitah year is considered like bitul mikzas. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Ubavoides kechovim, Rashi you'll see in the outside Rashi column opposite the beginning of the Rabbeinu Hananel. He says, Ubavoides kechovim, afilu omar loch hayoim oivdo lemochor betelo, dahainu, kiu mikzas ubitul mikzas devoides kechovim, chayov. That if he is does a bitul mikzas in idolatry, the Novi would be guilty. The Rachmon Omar, the Torah says, La'dichacho min haderech. If the Novi tries to prophesy and seduce people to veer off the correct path. Now, min haderech means, min is an expression of limitation. Afilu mikzas derech, even if he's limiting the seductive words. This pasuk of Adicho min haderech is found in the context of idolatry. V'chikotoni chayav, and when the source teaches chayav kagon l'rabbanan b'skilo or b'shimon b'chenek, chayav means death penalty, and there are different opinions in Tanoim as to what death penalty is meted out. And thusly Rav Chisda explains in Maseches Sanhedrin. Now, this part of Rashi becomes relevant to our sugya. That statement is Ke'ein Shabbos V'Shvi'is Domi. The Kori Lahu, and it is referred to as Bitul Mikzas V'Kiu Mikzas. Just like we saw in the case of idolatry, since the Torah refers to the false prophet as being chayav for even bittul mikzas when it comes to idolatry, we see that hayoim lo'ovdo lemocher betela is called bittul mikzas. So too, with regard to Shemitah, Shabbos and Shemitah, this too would be called kiyum mikzas and bittul mikzas, and hence it would be chayav apar helem dovar shel tzibor. Mishnah. Horu Beisdin, V'yoda Echo Mayam Shitou, V'omar Lahem Toyim Atem. Beisdin, the Sanhedrin, issued an erroneous psak, and one of the judges knew that there was an error, and he told them, you are making a mistake. Oi, Shelohoya Muflo Shel Beisdin Sham. Or the preeminent judge was not there on in his court. Oi, Shehoya Echo Mayam Ger, O Mamzer, O Nosin, O Zokin, Shiloroi, Lebonim. Or one of the members of the court is a convert, or a mamzer, or a nosin, or an elderly person that's not fit for having children. Harei ze poter, a court that has one of these situations on it would not be a court that could result in a par helem dovar shel tzibor. Shenemar kan eda. V'nemar lahalon eda. It says here, v'nelam einei ha'eda, it uses the word eda in the context of the par helam dover shel tzibor. pasuk that we are making reference to in the Rahalon, where it says v'nemar lahalon eda, Rashi quotes the pasuk v'shavtu eda v'itzilu ha'eda, which is a reference to Sanhedrin. And the pasuk that's nemar kan, we must correct a mistake we just made a moment ago. The Rashi quotes the pasuk is v'im kol adas Yisrael yishgu. So the word adas is the eda word in our context. Ma eido hamura lahalon kulon ruin lahora. Just like in the case of Sanhedrin, they must all be fit for paskining, for issuing rulings. Af eido hamura kan, so too eido that is found in the context of parhelim achi kulon ruin lahora. They must be all fit and qualified for paskining, and hence the examples that were cited in the Mishnah being unqualified for ruling would constitute a lack in the Sanhedrin, and hence not a Sanhedrin that would be fit for bringing a parhelim. Oy shelohoya muflo shel based in Shom. This was a quote from our Mishnah, a court where the preeminent scholar is not on the court when they issue their erroneous ruling. Minolon. From where do we know that this is a problem? Omrav sheshes v'chintana debei Rabbi Shmuel. The answer is as follows. We have a source in a frame because the Tana Debei Rishmoel teaches over this Tanaic source. Ma omru horu bedavar shatzdukim modim bo pturin. Why is it that if the court issues an erroneous psak concerning something that Sadukim themselves acknowledge, namely something found in the Torah itself, pturin, why is such a psak potter from parhelim? Because it's the type of thing that they should have known on their own. It's such an obvious point, and they didn't bother learning. By the same token, lohoya mufla shobezim shomnami turin. When you have a court and the preeminent scholar is not there, they are also exempt. Because they put themselves in a situation where they should have learned. In other words, they should have waited for the preeminent scholar and didn't, and ruled in his absence. So that's similar to the case of the psak concerning a dover shatzdukim modimbo. Nemar shom eido, v'nemar kan eido. Achiu kulon ruyun lahira. The hasam in alon. How do we know in the case of a standard Sanhedrin that all of the members have to be fit for paskining? The Omar of Chizda, Omar Kra, we've called this number one because we'll see another source cited later. The pasuk says, "V'hisyatzvu shom imoch." This is a pasuk regarding Moshe Rabbeinu and the instructions to have other judges judging with him. Imoch equals bedoymin loch. The word imoch means similar to you. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu was qualified to serve as a judge, those that are with him should be qualified as well. The Gemara asks, v'yema imoch l'shchina. Maybe in that case specifically, they had to be similar to you. Rashi has two pirushim on this. The second pirush that he says is maybe only over there they had to be tzadikim gemurim. They had to be completely righteous and qualified people because there was a divine presence that settled upon them, as is seen in the pasuk over there where it says v'hisyatzvu shom imoch. So that was an exceptional case, but in general, maybe they don't have to be. The judges don't have to be of highest quality. Elo Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar Kro. There's another pasuk that is in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu, where it says V'nosu Itoch. Itoch equals B'doymin Loch. That the pasuk here is also referring to additional judges, but it's not in the context of a Shechina presence. That they should all be like you, namely fit for judging. So we see that in the case of Sanhedrin, that they must all be qualified. Mishnah. Horu based in Shogigin, the Osu Kol HaKol Shogigin, Mevi'in Par. This is the standard case where the Bezdin issued an erroneous ruling in an inadvertent fashion and by mistake, and the Kohol follows their erroneous ruling, not realizing that it's an error, then there is grounds for a Par Helem Dovar Shelsibor to be brought. Mezidin, if they ruled knowingly, knowing that they're ruling incorrectly, the Osu Shogigin, and the public not realizing that it was a mistake, Mevi and Kisvosira, then each person brings his personal korban chatos. This kind of thing, this kind of situation is not grounds for the public par helem dover to cover everyone. Shogigin Vosu Mezidin, if the court ruled erroneously by mistake, but the public knew that they were in error and they went ahead and did it anyway, Harei Upturim, there's no korban that's brought. Shogigin the Osu Mezidin, Harei Elu Pturin. The Mishnah said that if the court rules by mistake, and the public knew that they were in error and went ahead and did it anyway, so we said, the Mishnah said that they are exempt. There's no korban brought. Ha shogeg dumi demezin chayov vehechi dumi. However, if they didn't do something knowingly wrong, but they were shogeg dumi demezin, that would be chayov. Now, what's an example of that? Vehechi dumi shahoru based in shechelev mutter. Beis Din issued a mistaken psak that chelev is allowed, when chelev we know is prohibited, and an individual, v'nischalef lo b'shuman v'ochlo, and a person sat down to eat shuman. He was going to eat something, not based on the court ruling, but it got switched around and he ended up eating chelev. In fact, the item that the court ruled was allowed. So we want to infer from the Mishnah that a situation like that would be chayev a par helem dover. So lemo tifshot ha de boy rami bar chama. Can we not use this Mishnah, the inference from this Mishnah, to settle that very question that was raised by Rami bar chama on daf beis? Omar loch, Rami bar chama will tell you that this Mishnah is not taught for inference purposes, but rather it's a stylistic setup. Omar loch mishum de tana reisha. Since the reisha taught a case of mezidin vasu shogigin, that needed to be taught where the court ruled knowingly in error and the public violated b'shogeg. Tana seifa. Therefore, the seifa teaches shogigin the osu mezidin. The for balance purposes, the seifa teaches the opposite case, but not for the purpose of inferring from it shogeg dumya demezid. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.